Guess That Pokemon, and more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hello and welcome to The Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. And if you're new here, welcome. Be sure to hit that follow button down below so that you can be notified when we go live. And also be sure to chat with us during the live show. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you're tuning in via the podcast, be sure to tap that subscribe button as well. Welcome, by the way. But do keep in mind that if you're listening to the podcast, you're about a day behind and really should be joining us live over at mixer.com/TechNewsGadget. Finally, we are on Twitter at TechNewsGadget, where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions both during or after the show. I might just change that line to say join us over on our Discord server. Octavius here is all revved up and pumped up and ready to go about that. And so I link to that will be somewhere in the show notes. What's the... Octavius, can you type in the... There it is, discord.me/TechNewsGadget. So feel free to hang out there and chat with us. We usually cover the latest tech news happenings of the day, chat about some stuff, chat about games, chat about gadgets, whatever's going on, and then we usually update the podcast or any new posts that way as well. So, yeah, that's kind of where Octavius, and for those of you who don't know, he's my pet octopus, that's where he hangs out now. He likes to hang out more on Discord. He's hanging out a little bit in the live chat, which is fine. He's just told me he doesn't like Twitter at all, so he's just not going to pay attention to it at all. So, I see you're behaving yourself today. Did you and Spider-Man work it out? I mean, you had like 2 whole days in order to work it out. You did? Okay, good. Spider-Man is my other action figures. They're causing problems. I don't know. Oh, something about some big wig PlayStation 4 exclusive game coming out. So obviously they had butt heads and I don't know if either of them won, but apparently they're over it now. So that's great. So let's head on over, guys. I know that some of you have been studying up long and hard for your chance at winning the trivia that we have for you today. Obviously, it's new every single day, every single week, and every single time we play, there is a chance for you, yes, you, to win. So, let's head on over, shall we? Alright, for those of you who don't know, we have trivia here. How to play is it's going to be 3 questions. Each question is multiple choice. Pick your answer by either typing the letter or answer itself into the chat. And if you get all 3 questions correct, you win. Now, obviously, if you're listening via the podcast, you're totally missing out. This is only for the live show attendees. So if you haven't already, head on over to mixer.com/TechNewsGadget for your chance to win. Win what? Oh, let me tell you. Winners get a free subscription to our Insider's Annual Plan, which includes exclusive access to the video archives of this and every other show in the past or future. You also get access to our exclusive email subscription, 10% off our merch store, a special Discord server role, plus a free t-shirt, as you can see here. You can actually customize it color and size. All you gotta do is let me know, and we'll be sure to send that out to you. This is $100 plus value, yours free, just for playing. All you gotta do is get 3 questions right, and Jack Chaney, bada bing, you're in the money, baby. Alright, I don't know where that's coming from. Apparently, I've worked too much today. Oh, well. Move on, shall we? First question on the docket, guys. Pencils ready. The world's first photograph required an exposure time of how long? Is it A, several days, B, 24 hours, C, 16 hours, or D, 8 hours? Remember, this is for the first photograph, not the more recent one. World's first photograph required an exposure time of how long? Is it A, several days, B, 24 hours, C, 16 hours, or D, 8 hours? Type your answer into the chat, and we shall see if you guess rightly. I don't know, I heard there's prizes handing out. T-shirt. The correct answer... We're in? Okay. The correct answer is A, several days. And here's why. French inventor Joseph Nicéphore is credited with making the first permanent, I don't even know if I said that right. If I didn't, sorry. With the first permanent photograph in 1826 using a camera obscura and a pewter plate coated with bitumen of Judea, which was an asphalt derived from petroleum that was exposed, then washed with lavender oil and petroleum to remove the bitumen, not hardened by light, achieving the image that you see here. The amount of time that it was exposed is disputed, however. It was long suggested that the exposure time was 8 to 9 hours. However, researchers dedicated to preserving the history of photography studied his notes and have since reported that it would have, in fact, taken several days of exposure to capture the image. Quite impressive. And, man, just look at the resolution on that. I mean, the current resolution, 8K, it's got nothing on the resolution here. I'm kidding. For those of you listening on the podcast, you're like, what are you looking at? Another reason to watch the live show. Pretty awesome photo. You should totally see it. Moving on. Second question. Which of these is the oldest web browser still in general use and development or in operation today? Is it A, Internet Explorer, B, Lynx, C, Netscape, or D, Mosaic? Let's see which one of you knows your browser history. I'll repeat the question again. Which of these is the oldest web browser still in general use and development? A, Internet Explorer, B, Lynx, C, Netscape, or D, Mosaic? A little bit of a thinker here, yeah, I know. That's what I thought. I was like, wait, I thought I know the answer to this. Figure it out if you know what you're doing. The correct answer is B, Lynx. And you're like, what? What's Lynx? Well, although browsers such as Mosaic proved more popular in the earliest days of the web, Lynx has been around since the start, with its initial beta release, get this, occurring in July of 1992, and it remains available for platforms including Windows, with the most recent update as of current writing in November of 2016. Nexus and Mosaic didn't survive the 90s, and Netscape has been unmaintained for nearly a decade. Thank goodness. Ugh, Netscape. Although I should say the same thing about Internet Explorer. Oh, it's Edge now, that's what they call it? Right, oh, I don't want it. Anyways, created by a group of students at the University of Kansas to distribute campus information, Lynx is a text-based browser that's designed for users who are connected to Unix and VMS systems via cursor addressable character cell terminals or emulators. Wow, big words there. Graphics are not supported, though the browser can handle a range of protocols, including HTTPS. The image above shows a page rendered in Lynx and Firefox for comparison, and we're not doing a zoom in today, guys. We're just, you can go to lynx.com or wherever that is, L-Y-N-X, search it up. You could probably download it and see just how crazy people were back then trying to get to the internet, and then we just now have Chrome today for all of us to use. Interesting, isn't it? Last question. If you reach level 256 in the game Pac-Man, this infamous bug will cause the arcade game to A, flip the board upside down, B, lock up on an all-black screen, C, render half of the screen wrong, or D, display monochrome graphics. Those of you video gamers or speedrunners, well, this might be a bit of a stumper for you guys. We'll see. Type your answers into the chat. If you reach level 256 in the game Pac-Man, this infamous bug will cause the arcade game to A, flip the board upside down, B, lock up on an all-black screen, C, render half of the screen wrong, or D, display monochrome graphics. Couple more seconds. Okay, pencils down. The correct answer is A, no cheating, Octavius. I told you. C, render half of the screen wrong. And, well, here's the reason why. As one of the more iconic bugs in gaming history, reaching level 256 in a Pac-Man arcade game would cause half of the screen to be rendered in a jumbled mess, as you see here on the screen. The left of the screen would appear as executed, while the right displayed a mixture of random characters in varying colors. The bug stems from a memory overflow error in a code that retrieves the number of fruits, shown on the bottom right of the screen, and there's only enough memory to draw half of the board. Because there's no possible way for Pac-Man to eat the number of dots required to pass the level, the split-screen bug effectively marks the end of the game, forcing you to take a loss with no congratulatory message or credit roll. Toru Iwatani, the creator of Pac-Man, never intended for there to be an end to the game. And as you can see, people have definitely continued on with his method of having a game that never ends and drives people nuts. Except if you are one of those crazy people, you just play it forever and ever. And yeah, it's, ugh. You know, I know some people can tolerate games like these for so long and seeing how far they can get in some levels. And some people are like, is there like a point to this game? Can I just reach end level sufficient enough for me to say, yeah, I beat the game, and they go, no, 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 you have to continue. It's like, oh yeah, I create two account. Oh, great. Now I'm quoting YouTubers. Thanks a lot, Donkey. All right, well, that wraps up the trivia we have for today, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. We do trivia on the daily, so if you haven't already, be sure to study up, and you could be the winner of tomorrow's or in an upcoming episode of the giveaway prize. So how about that? So, just gotta move a couple things over here really quick. As you guys know, before we can cover the tech news making the airwaves today, we always have to take a look back on technology, and being that today is Monday, September 24th, 2018, on this day in history, in 1979, CompuServe began offering a consumer version of its dial-up online information service called Micronet. The name would later be changed to CompuServe and offer public email, among other online services. Now, by the mid-1980s, CompuServe was the largest consumer information service in the world, and half of their revenue came from CIS, or CompuServe Information Service. In 1989, CompuServe, connected its proprietary email system to the internet email system, making it one of the first commercial internet services. However, CompuServe did not compete well with America Online or independent internet service providers in the 1990s and quickly lost its dominant market position. See, that's what happens when you don't continue on with technology. It just leaves you in the dust and keeps on going. On this day in 1993, Rotorbun Software released the game Myst for the Macintosh computer. It became a record-selling bestseller and helped popularize CD-ROM games. Obviously, now we go, CD-ROM, oh, what's that? We have DVDs, or we just download it from the internet. See, that in 1993, that was the thing, okay? You had CDs, and you threw them around and used them as a frisbee. Otherwise, you know, we didn't have all this cool gadgetry that we do today. Also, on this day, in 1997, Ultima Online launched, revolutionizing online gaming by supporting thousands of simultaneous players in a persistent shared world. Man, wasn't that fun for servers? They just had to deal with the increased server load all the time. Well, they figured it out. Also on this day in 2013, Valve announced their new Steam OS, which was a free version of Linux built around the Steam video game service. Finally, in 2014, the Shellshock vulnerability was made. The way Bash handled variables could allow malicious code to be run on computers running Linux and OS X. This meant routers, webcams, and other connected devices were also vulnerable. Thankfully, a fix was found, and we don't have to suffer that vulnerability anymore, because that could have been a real doozy of a bug, if you want to ask me. So, before we can get into the news of today, I want to let you guys know that you can become an insider today for only $9.95 a month or $99 annually, and you can support this show that matters to you and help keep it growing. Did you know that insiders get exclusive access to the daily video archives, unlock a special role on the Discord server, plus their choice of an Octavius plush or insider's mug or t-shirt? Who knows? Yeah, stuff being added to it every day. Right now, for limited time, you can get a 10-day free trial of our monthly membership, no credit card required. Head on over to technewsgadget.net/insiders after the show to learn more. Now, with that anyway, I know you guys want to know what's happening in the world today. So, let's go take a look, shall we? First up, on the docket, Spotify is teaming up with Ancestry.com to make playlists based on your DNA. I'm not making this up, guys, okay? I read the title myself. I'm laughing just like you are right now. And then I went, huh. Maybe they got something here, and maybe it's a little bit crazy. Well, let's actually find out what the article says. Spotify has teamed up with Ancestry.com to offer users playlists based on their own DNA. By signing up through the genealogy company, you can trace your family history and input results to Spotify. It'll then generate a playlist based on your family tree and listening habits. The program will encourage Ancestry's audience to explore the soundtrack of their heritage, said Danielle Lee, Global Head of Partner Solutions at Spotify. Users who want to explore will first have to sign up to the Ancestry DNA program for $99. According to Spin, that entails handling over a perpetual royalty-free worldwide license to your DNA results. If you're a little bit worried about privacy, keep that in mind. But if you already know your family tree, Ancestry DNA offers a manual tool to generate the playlist as well. But for only $99, now you can have a custom-built playlist based on your DNA. So here's where I'm wondering. The soundtrack of their heritage, is this just based off of, oh, well, they might like this, and they might like that, and they might like that, because that's what's currently in the culture? What if they were in that area, but they didn't listen to any of that music? What if they didn't listen to any music at all? I mean, we're making a lot of assumptions, and Savin is a snake. Yes, indeed. Welcome. Just covering the latest tech news of today. I'm currently laughing over Spotify teaming with Ancestry to make playlists based on your DNA. So have at it, Ancestry and Spotify. Might learn something out of this. Moving on to the next article. Netflix is still intending to produce the Stranger Things game despite Telltale collapse. Now, for those of you wondering what's going on here, or for those of you who know already, over the weekend, Telltale Games is shuttering their entire company. They're being very vague on a lot of information. But be that as it may, while people are wondering, well, you have a bunch of games in the queue still waiting to come out. Stranger Things was a game meant to come out, and so obviously people asked about it. So here's the news. Last Friday, Telltale Games, the developer behind IP-driven point-and-click titles like The Walking Dead series, Game of Thrones, and Guardians of the Galaxy, laid off most of its staff with the intention of eventually shutting down the company. For both fans and employees surprised by the move, it was a crushing turn of events. Today, Telltale Games made the difficult decision to begin a majority studio closure following a year marked by insurmountable challenges. The company said in an official statement, majority of the company's employees were dismissed earlier this morning, with a small group of 25 employees staying on to fulfill the company's obligations to its board and partners. Yeah, bought the last one, and it's not getting finished. So yeah, we definitely have sad people here. I didn't know exactly what the problem was. I thought they were doing fine on the games. I thought everything was going fine. But maybe there was something a bit more problematic happening behind the scenes that we just don't know about. At the time of the statement on Friday afternoon, those allegations remained unclear, but according to both Game Informer and US Gamer, citing unnamed sources, The Walking Dead, the final season, which premiered its first episode August 14th, would be canceled, incomplete. Other reports suggest that The Wolf Among Us 2 was also a victim of the cancellation. Final projects included an adaptation of Minecraft Story Mode for Netflix, which would make the original 2015 game playing on streaming platform, and a Walking Dead-like game inspired by the streaming giant's Stranger Things. Netflix tells Polygon one of the games is still happening to be completed by the Telltale Skeleton crew, while the other will spring back to life at a new home. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's almost kind of what you did right there, is donated the money to them, but if you liked the game and you enjoyed it, you know, I guess it was a worthwhile donation, but yeah. We are saddened by news about Telltale Games, Netflix said in a statement. They developed many great games in the past and left an indelible mark on the industry. Minecraft Story Mode is still moving forward as planned. We are in the process of evaluating other options for bringing the Stranger Things universe to life in an interactive medium. Savin, thanks for the follow, appreciate it. So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know, Minecraft Story Mode I maybe could have probably done without, but I know that there are a lot of people enjoying the Walking Dead series. I know that there are a lot of people looking forward to Stranger Things game mode, as well as a couple other things. So, another gaming company bites the dust. So, it's sad indeed. Moving on. The next article is about Apple Watch's walkie-talkie being practically useless. And this is an interesting article. If you have a new Apple Watch Series 4 or have upgraded your existing Apple Watch to watchOS 5, you probably noticed you have a new app on your device called Walkie-Talkie. Now, this particular app uses the FaceTime audio API, so you can instantaneously voice communicate with someone else that also has walkie-talkie, much like the way Sprint push-to-talk did back in the day, working with phones that support it. Now, obviously, this push-to-talk is an extremely useful feature on these handsets because it doesn't require dialing. Not only does it support instantaneous one-to-one communication, like a CB radio or the communicator device on Star Trek, but it also supports a broadcast mode where multiple devices connected to a group or channel can simultaneously talk to each other. The function is extremely popular in the construction and transportation industries and in other verticals where it requires constant voice communication, but it also has a lot of potential for consumer use, especially for families when they go on group outings, such as the theme parks and other places where they can easily get separated. So you can obviously see the whole idea here about the walkie-talkie. I actually myself had a walkie-talkie back in the day, and oh man, we love playing on it. And got on an interesting channel one time and kind of made one dude mad because apparently he was listening for somebody else, and he said, "Hey kids, get off the channel!" And we said, "Oh yeah? I'm gonna call the cops." Well, we turned it off because we didn't know what the rules were behind walkie-talkies or radio waves. And, you know, we figured it out eventually. He was just being a butthead. But anyways, for the author here of this article, he's tried walkie-talkie, and it's definitely fun to use. They definitely brought back old days where they were on different phones and communicating that way. Now here's the problem. When the app works, it's great, voice quality is decent enough, and it's fast. The problem is that the app leaves much to be desired in terms of overall usefulness. For starters, you can only use walkie-talkie to communicate with somebody that also has an Apple Watch. That's it. You like screwing around with people on walkie-talkies as well. Yeah, that seems to be a good pastime, but with this walkie-talkie feature on the phone, it definitely makes it a lot easier to just have the one-to-one communication so you're not talking with, like, everybody or random people. So it kind of sucks you have to have a Apple Watch and an Apple Watch in order to use it. I mean, I can understand why. But then there's also the entire process of inviting people. You can only invite contacts that have a cell phone number in the iPhone Contacts application, and there is a separate list maintained in the Apple Watch Management app on iOS, where the contact is actually linked to the watch. It's problematic for a number of reasons. There's been multiple occasions where the author has sent out an invite, only for someone on the other end to not accept it or can't accept it because, well, they don't have an Apple Watch or some other glitch, and it stays in limbo. Now, when that happens, you have to delete the contact from the Apple Watch app on iOS and swipe left on the invite and walkie-talkie and then redo it again. It's kind of frustrating, understandably. They've also noticed a situation where if you swap your watch devices, such as with an upgrade, it doesn't seem that your walkie-talkie contact persists and you have to re-add them. They had to do this when they upgraded to an Apple Watch Series 4 on the same day. Now, the implementation is just plain awful. There's also no broadcast function, such as if you wanted to create a family channel with all your kids and your spouse on it. And, of course, if you use anything else as a primary contacts manager for texting, such as Google Hangouts, Facebook Messenger, or WhatsApp, well, it doesn't work. You have to manually add them in iOS contacts. You cannot selectively choose who you want to talk to all at a time either. When you turn on the available switch, as any one of your contacts can send an instant voice message to you. Now, that's bad for obvious reasons. Now, the experience could certainly be better. They'd like to see Apple port walkie-talkie to iOS at the very least, which would considerably open up the user base, but I think if you want the watch to be a good instant communicator device, kind of need to get some third parties involved so that they can kind of do what we need to do here to get walkie-talkies working properly. So, it's an idea in the works. Understandably so, but something that can definitely be tweaked on. The rest of this article, which came to us from ZDNet.com, along with all the articles that we talked about today, will be at the show notes for this episode that you can find over at TechNewsGadget.net. So, yeah, Apple's walkie-talkie. definitely something showing promise. It's probably not there just yet, but working on it. Also, a weird Pokemon briefly appeared in Pokemon Go, and nobody has any idea what it is. Now, I saw it, my wife saw it, but every time we tried to figure out what in the world it was, and we caught it, it wasn't it. It was something else entirely. Well, for those of you who don't have Pokemon Go, you have no idea what I'm talking about. For those of you who do, well, maybe you might have an inkling, and if you do and you're not playing it, well, here's kind of a reason, maybe, why you should be. Pokemon Go's latest community day took place this past weekend, and by all accounts, it was a fairly standard event. However, something rather unusual happened right after the community day ended. A strange, never-before-seen Pokemon briefly appeared in the wild. In each region, an unidentified Pokemon began swarming immediately after the event concluded. No one knows what kind of monster it is. It was first discovered in the game files shortly before the community day by data miner Trales, but it was listed with the name Kleecyon, which is a chameleon Pokemon first introduced in the Gen 3 games Ruby and Sapphire. And here we got a picture of it. We caught it in the wild. The strange monster, which you can see below, appeared in the wild for precisely 30 minutes following community day, after which point it disappeared just as suddenly debuted. Niantic hasn't formally acknowledged a new Pokemon, but it most closely resembles Ditto, albeit with what appears to be a golden nut for its head. So people have been calling it, like, Nutter or Nutters or something. Moreover, when the strange Pokemon was captured, it would reveal itself to be, actually, Ditto. Some players have also reported that the new monster would turn into Chikorita, which was the featured Pokemon during September's Community Day, or the aforementioned Kleecyon when captured. Whether or not it has any relation to the shape-shifting Pokemon remains to be seen, but it is considerably smaller than Ditto, so it isn't likely to be an evolution of it. Barring a small handful of exceptions, for instance, Blossom is notably smaller than Gloom, and Pokemon generally increase in size when they evolve. Now, while the upcoming Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee games for Nintendo Switch will feature only the original 151 Pokemon, plus their Alolan variants, Pokemon Company had previously teased that players could receive a brand new Pokemon by connecting the Switch games to Pokemon Go. Whether or not this is the Pokemon in question remains to be seen, but we'll likely learn more as those games are scheduled to launch on November 16th. Also in the news, yes I can, Savin. Thanks for thanks for the tip. I will definitely consider that. So, I don't know. I actually took a look at it and caught it, and it turned into Ditto, and all the whatever it was all over the place catching it. We only caught a Ditto off of it, which was great, because we kind of needed Ditto candies, and actually got a fairly good number of IV 4 and 5 good IV Pokemon out of it, so remains to be seen what this was actually for. Some people were speculating that one of the developers created this as a bug, and then instead of it just being taken out, they went, oh, let's just go ahead and introduce it anyways. So they introduced it to the game, and everybody went, what the heck is this? So maybe it got the desired result. But we shall see. You finally got Metagross? Alright. Yep, I'm still working on that stupid Magikarp quest. Have to evolve it into Gyarados again. I did it the first time, but now that they introduced the quest line and we have to do certain things in order to continue on in the quest, I have to evolve a Magikarp. And here I go waiting all over again. I'm like 300 candies away. It's going to take forever, but I'll do it eventually. So that wraps it up for this article. Also in the news I got for you guys, in case you haven't seen it, the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 launch gameplay trailer. So I know some of you have been looking forward to this, so let's sit back, relax, and enjoy the trailer.
Give us the fire, we'll give them hell.
Let's tango!
Alright, and there you have it. There's the latest gameplay trailer for Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Hope you guys enjoyed. And with that, that brings us to the ending segment of today's show. By the way, if we happen to miss something on the show, or there's something you want us to keep you informed on, be sure to let us know. Let us know either in the chat, on Twitter, at TechNewsGadget, or via our Discord server. That will do it for this episode of The Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news. Be sure to head on over to TechNewsGadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.